Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you on this Tuesday. Brought to you by good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Online at sunburymotors.com. Matt Leon on the Eagles in just a few moments. Donnie Collins on Penn State in the next half hour. And Neil Coulong on the Steelers. We got a lot going on. Merrill Reese joins us on the show, by the way, on Friday. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory, all with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. They go over those vehicles with a fine-tooth comb. And not only that, a great service department, fabulous in inspections, great at routine maintenance, and great at anything complicated. It's really one-stop shopping. And your trade-in, by the way, has never been worth more. It's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Georgia winning the national championship last night after a rather nondescript first half, and I thought Chris Fowler made a great reference because I was thinking the same thing. The LSU-Alabama game in Tuscaloosa in 2011. I remember 2011, that was a game that was circle the game, I got to watch it. And, I was announcing Penn State football, our game was early, and the game between Alabama and LSU was prime time. Couldn't wait to watch it. Get home. Settle in, and it's just one of the worst games I ever saw. Alabama won the game, I think, 9. No, I'm sorry. LSU won the game 9-6. LSU won the game 9-6. Then Alabama shut them out 22-0 for the national championship. I'm watching last night's game. It's 9-6. I think, oh, my goodness. Nobody can get to the end zone. The Williams play was a huge play in the game because he got hurt. Well, he already didn't have Mechie, as Brad Nessler said on the show yesterday. Mechie was his security blanket. And then finally, George, I give Stetson Bennett credit. He made the big mistake, and then he overcame the big mistake and was 4-for-4 after that with 2 touchdowns. That's impressive. So Georgia wins their first title since 1980. The Eagles are looking to win a Super Bowl. Haven't done that since 2017. At least they've done it once. We'll come back, talk with Matt Leon about the Eagles in a moment as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Welcome back. Great to have you with us here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right. We'll talk about the Eagles in a moment, but today's show is brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory, sales staff that works with you, they want to save you money, your trade-in's never been worth more, and the service department, it's outstanding from inspections all the way through to routine maintenance to difficult. It's one-stop shopping all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Eagles won 7 of their last 10. Really one of the hotter teams down the stretch. And they will get Tampa Bay coming up on Sunday. Tom Brady and company. Now let's go to Philadelphia, bring in our good friend Matt Leon. Sir, always a pleasure. Great to have you back with us.
Happy New Year. Happy to be with you.
All right. The Eagles are in, and they did it by winning 7 of their last 10. I think Brady played. Rodgers played the first half of his game. Obviously, Prescott played. We understand why they did that. Mahomes played. a lot of guys played. Hurts didn't. What did you think of the Eagles' approach in that last game?
My thoughts on this, and this I've had thoughts on this because we've seen this with the Eagles several times over the years over multiple regimes. You know, do you play guys in these games or not? And I think the answer is, if you win the first playoff game, whatever you did was the right thing. And I don't mean that to be coy, but, you know, if you play guys and you win, then you say, oh, well, they had momentum, they went right in. But then if you play guys and somebody gets seriously hurt, then the argument is, why would you play guys when you didn't have anything to really gain and you lost them for the playoffs? And the key is to win the playoff game, because then that justifies whatever approach you took in the final game to get there. Hurts had kind of still, I think that ankle might still have been lingering a little bit to get him a week off. And you've got a guy like Minshew behind him who is a very good number two. They had their decisions made for them on a lot of guys because they put a ton of guys on the COVID list, on that Monday prior to the game. So I have no problems with it. But like I said, the outcome of the playoff game that follows, however you approached that last game, will dictate whether what you did was right or wrong.
Right. No, I understand that. I always take it from a case of sharpness. I think Green Bay did it right. They played Aaron Rodgers a half, and then Love played. I mean, I'd have played Hurts a half just to play him, just so he was in the rhythm of playing, because the quarterback he's playing next week is in the rhythm of playing.
No, and it's, like I said, I can see from both sides, but it's interesting to me that everybody works so hard to get a bye in whatever the playoff structure is, which is a week off, which you've given yourself a week off. So if everybody thinks the bye is so important, why wouldn't you want to not have to play and injure guys in a game that doesn't do anything for you moving on the table?
Let's see. Why? I want the bye because it's one less round I have to win. That's why. Yeah. That's why I want the bye. I want the bye for two reasons. A, I'm going to be home regardless now with only one team in, and two, it's one less round I got to win.
No, and that's obviously part of it. But I have no problem with it. And like I said, if they upset the Bucs on Sunday, it will be looked at as a great coaching move. If they lose 40-6, it will be looked at as they stemmed their own momentum. They were playing so well down the stretch. But I have no issue with it. And maybe I think a lot of it, I'm really approaching this. This is house money they're playing. Think back to the last time they played the Buccaneers, back in October. It was, you know, if you look back on the box score, you know, I don't remember, it was something like 35-29. Mm-hmm. And it seemed, it was a game that you never thought the Eagles were going to win. And it was kind of amazing that it was that close because mm-hmm. the Buccaneers were just able to do whatever they wanted offensively. But these teams are very different now. You know, that game was before the Eagles kind of found their identity in the running game. Tampa's lost big weapons on offense for one reason or another. Do I still think it would be a monumental upset for the Eagles to win? Yes, but I think they're closer in talent and execution now than they were when they met in the regular season.
Yeah, no, I agree that they are. So where are the Eagles on, quote, the list? Where are they in terms of the ability to get guys back? Because part of being on the list and you get off the list is you don't have to test for 90 days,
yeah.
Which is the little known fact about the list. So where are they in terms of the ability to get guys back this week?
I think I haven't heard anything of anyone that is going to be a long-term issue. And aside from the COVID list, I think Nick Sirianni said he was hopeful that Miles Sanders will be back. He was a fracture in the hand that had been holding him out. So I guess with the regards to the COVID thing, the only thing I can think of is I haven't heard anyone mentioned as it will be dicey for them to get back in time.
Right.
So,
good.
And, you know, there's – I sometimes wonder with some of this stuff if there wasn't some strategic testing going on so that guys get tested the day after a game where they clinch the playoffs to miss a basically meaningless game. And as you point out, you don't have to get tested again and get it out of the way and then be free to go forward. So, of course, you know, the Eagles, Nick Sirianni will say, no, and they have to, but who knows? But it wouldn't surprise me.
Right. No, I understand that. Because that was a skeletal crew, especially on defense.
And they were running. I mean, it seemed to me they were running day one schemes and concepts. Like, you know.
I mean, look, there's vanilla, right? And then there's something that's watered down vanilla.
Yeah.
And I thought they were doing watered down vanilla.
No, absolutely. You know, and I mean, don't get me wrong. The defense has struggled anytime it's played a good quarterback throughout this season. I mean, this Eagles' success, and you don't want to be a hater, but it's been built on the renaissance of the running game and an offense that's been able to score points, but a defense that has taken advantage of playing bad quarterback after bad quarterback. And I don't blame them for that. They don't make the schedule. They don't put the guys in front of them.
Right.
But they have not, and we had this discussion before, you know, you talk about the best quarterbacks they've beaten, and you're talking guys Matt Ryan, Teddy Bridgewater, maybe a Jared Goff, you know, but not anybody that put together any kind of a season. And that's the top of the list of guys they've beaten.
Well, they have no wins against a team with a winning record.
They've won, the Saints.
Oh, the Saints. They beat the Saints.
They have no one against the none of the playoff field, but right. The Saints, who miraculously were still in the playoff hunt until, you know, which, you know, but no, I mean, like I said, you take advantage of this, and, you know, if you look at the big picture, and it's funny, because if you and I were talking a year ago, everything looked so bleak with this organization.
Yeah, no
everything
doubt. I agree.
Looked, and now you look, they're in a house money playoff situation.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a quarterback who, if he's not the long-term answer, he's definitely the short-term answer.
No
on a
doubt.
Rookie,
no
on
doubt.
A rookie deal.
A second,
and they've got three first-round picks now that they don't have to spend on a quarterback.
Not just that. It's a second-round rookie deal. It's not a first-round rookie deal. It's a second-round rookie deal. That's what made Russell Wilson so terrific. It was a third-round rookie deal.
Yeah. So you talk about life coming at you fast. It is amazing the 180 they've done. And, you know, like I said, do I think they're going to win Sunday against the Bucs? No. Could they? Yeah, they could. Like, it's not David Goliath. Like, it's, you know, the Bucs had their issues. Obviously, you're playing against the greatest quarterback of all time, and that is one of the big things in the negative if you're coming at it from the Eagles' standpoint. But I also think the Eagles have shown they can kind of impose their will offensively on just about anyone. You know, they can run the ball with anyone, and if you can shorten the game and Tampa without Godwin, without Antonio Brown, you know, and is Leonard Fournette expected to come back? I haven't looked into that.
Neither of the Bucks.
Yeah. You know, they're not quite the same offensively. They don't have explosive guys all over the field.
No.
They don't have impressive resumes all over the field. So, you know, we'll see. But I think the biggest thing the Eagles have going for them is absolutely no pressure on them.
No.
Now, they can just go out, play football, and whatever happens, happens. Even if they do lose 40-6, this season's a win, and the future looks bright. So that's a nice place to be in. It's a nice spot to be in.
Because I don't know what the status is of White and Jason Pierre-Paul. Shaq Barrett and Jason Pierre-Paul, because I know when I was there, 10 days ago, whatever it was, they were out. So I don't know about what their status is going into this game either.
Yeah, so
it'll
be interesting. And like I said, Eagles fans, if nothing else, get a week to get excited about a playoff game that absolutely no one who was a serious person thought was possible back on Halloween.
Yeah, but we're serious people. No.
Yeah. I didn't think. Yeah, you just looked, and it wasn't just that they were losing earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there were serious discussions if Nick Sirianni was going to make it through his first season.
Yeah.
Like, you look at how quickly things have changed, and, you know, it's really, really remarkable when you take a step back and look at it. And, you know, I'm very interested to see what, not just with the playoffs, but what the offseason brings for them, because they could take a quantum leap to a championship contender in the next year. It's not crazy.
Hey, how's Penn's hoops? How's Penn hoops going?
The non-conference was rough.
Expected.
But then they won their first two Ivies, but this past Saturday they got upset by Columbia, who I think when it's all said and done, it might not look as bad an upset as it did, because Columbia, it's interesting. They played Cornell, Brown, and Columbia. Cornell and Brown were the two teams that most people talked about ready to break through into the top four.
Yep.
And of the three, I was by far the most impressed with Columbia. Like, just what they were trying to do and how they executed, what their strengths were. Really. Now, they've got bigs that really Penn can't match up with. Just physically, Penn doesn't have the height and the size to match up with them. And that was front and center. So that's got a lot to do with it. But, I was very surprised at how good Columbia looked. And I think this is what you're going to – the league is all over the place. Like, not playing last year, so many transfers, and the rosters are so different. It's going to take not 8 or 9 games, I think, of league play to really get a feel for who is what and for teams to really find their identities. And I think what you're probably going to have is, so far, I think Princeton's the best. Mm-hmm. I think the other 7 are all capable of beating each other. And I don't think Princeton is the best where it's the Princeton of a few years ago that ran the table in the regular season or anything like that. Like, it's going to be day-to-day, an hour, and that's not even throwing in, COVID protocols and kids missing games possibly and who's can play where and games having to get switched and all. It'll be fun. It'll be interesting, and it'll be fun.
Sir, always a pleasure. Thanks so much.
Thank you, sir.
Matt Leon in Philadelphia. Eagles get ready for Tampa Bay in the playoffs. Steelers will get Kansas City later in the show. We'll have Neil Coolong. Next half hour, Donnie Collins. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors. 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia. Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. One-stop shopping with the best in the business. We'll come back. Donnie Collins, next half hour, News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us. Donnie Collins in a few moments. Our thanks to Matt Leon, who joined us in the previous half hour. Neil Coolong in the next hour on the Steelers. So we go from the Eagles to Penn State with Donnie in a moment, then to the Steelers. A lot of football talk today. Great to have you with us. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory. Great pre-owned inventory, the Sunbury Motors guarantee. And a fabulous service department to back it all up. It's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Depth became an issue last night for Alabama. We all know you can go from one five-star to the next five-star, but it does catch up to you at some point. They did not play last night with their two starting corners. They did not play last night with John Metchie, a wide receiver. Then, in the first half, Jameson Williams got hurt. So now they're playing without their two top wideouts. So two top corners, two top wideouts. And these are all through injuries, not through opt-outs. But when you're going out there with a crew that is not your starting group, your depth is going to get tested. Georgia was able to at least get everybody back. In fact, George Pickens, who had torn his ACL back in March, was back, made a big catch in last night's game. But in the fourth quarter, it finally caught up to him. I mean, when your depth is tested, it's the fourth quarter that gets you, because at that point, you've got a lot of people out there playing that aren't used to playing that many reps. And it makes a big difference. And it made a big difference last night because Georgia was able to wear them down. I mean, if it wasn't for a crazy mistake, in fact, it was a mistake that Alabama almost didn't even take advantage of, for goodness sakes, when the fumble by Stetson Bennett, he fumbles the football, okay? And to be honest with you, Alabama player comes over to the sideline, just kind of like just casually grabs the ball, like, okay, I got it. He's like, take it, just throw it back to the official. He's just trying to be nice about it. It turned out it was a fumble, and he kept his toe in bounds. And he wasn't trying to keep his toe in bounds. And Alabama gets that, and it was a big gift. And to the credit of Bennett, and to Georgia, they got aggressive. And he was then four for his next four for two touchdowns. They got their running game going. They wore Alabama down. Alabama wore down Georgia the first time. This time, Georgia wore down Alabama. And a big fourth quarter for them last night. So now we turn our attention to Penn State. Let's bring in our good friend from the Scranton Times-Tribune, Donnie Collins. Donnie, great to have you with us. Always a pleasure, sir.
Great to be here, Steve.
All right. So Penn State ends up with two openings when it's all said and done because Brent took the job at Virginia Tech, and then, of course, Joe Lohrig did end up going to Oregon. You know about Manny Diaz. We talked about that. But Stacy Collins comes in from Boise State. What did you think of that hire?
Yeah, that was an interesting one because I don't know if it happens very often where the guy who – left the job clearly put in a good word for the guy who got it.
Yeah.
I think it's a very good sign that, you know, Franklin understood why Joe Lohrig was going back home, mm-hmm. essentially, but you know, and how much respect he has for Lohrig to understand that, you know, he's very familiar with Stacy Collins. There's really no tie to James that I could find anywhere, but you know, his special teams units over the years have been really good. I mean, last year, and you know, Boise State are one of the best special teams units in the country. They had a really, really strong kicker. They blocked, I think it was four kicks.
They did.
Return. You know, they scored three touchdowns on special teams. I mean, if Penn State could get something like that going again, you know, they had that, I think, in 2020. And then it's very easy to get away from that once teams just decide they're just not going to let Jahan Dotson beat you. So in the punt return game, especially where they can control that. But you know, if Stacy Collins could come in and make an impact that way, I think that's a big boon to them. Now it comes down to fit, it comes down to, you know, style and things like that. But you know, I think that he's an intriguing hire there because he's shown some I don't know if that's a word, but dynamicism in the special teams games that I think they could really use, especially heading into next year where they don't have their kicker slash punter and they don't have their really dynamic punt returner.
Right. No question. I also think it says something about Joe Lohrig that he would say that, hey, instead of saying, hey, I'm out of here, I now work for these guys, that he said to James, hey, look, I go, what about this guy? That tells me a lot about Joe too.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, we noticed it a couple times during the year. I mean, I'm sure you did. You look down on the sidelines and who's the coach right next to James in key situations? It's usually Lorig.
Yeah.
So they have a good relationship, and Lorig went home, and that's, you know, that's what people do when, you know, and when they have professional opportunities to do so if they choose to. So I don't think it was a coach leaving another high and dry like you see sometimes. I think it was a situation where the mutual respect was still there, and Lorig took care of Penn State on his way out the door.
All right. Everybody has until a week from today to officially declare whether they're going to the draft or not. Rasheed Walker made his declaration already. He's going. What did you think of Olu Fashanu in the game? Because he'd be the first guy you would think of to step up and take that spot.
I thought he was pretty good. I mean, I didn't know. It's tough when you see a guy in the first time, and right, you know, you've really got no tape on him. but he looked. I think he held his own, and obviously Arkansas is pretty good. Mm-hmm. I mean, they had some guys on defense who could really run, who can get after the quarterback, who stopped the run pretty well statistically. They're okay at it anyway. But yeah, I thought he did a really good job, It's very, I mean, fans are really high on Rasheed Walker 4 years ago, and for the same reasons, and rightfully so. He came in when they needed him to play and looked pretty good. So there's still a lot of development to be done, but I would be surprised if they don't go into next season with Olu as the left tackle, just based on what he did in this game, because I thought he showed that basis for what, you know, he could be in the future. Not a finished product by any means, not a dominant player. I don't think it was a dominant performance by him, but I thought it was a pretty good one. And that's what you would expect from a redshirt freshman guy going in there and just kind of learning that's one thing that impressed me a lot about Penn State and the Outback Bowl. I thought those guys who really didn't play all that much during the year all kind of looked pretty good and showed you some flashes of what could be going forward. And I think Olu's a guy that, you know, you've heard enough about him. And if they didn't have Rasheed Walker, he would have been a guy who played a lot. So yeah, I think the coaches like him. I think there's good reason they like him. I thought he gave a really solid performance, and I think there is reason to be excited about him.
All right. So when you look at the nine guys coming in, because Miller's going to delay coming in. He's going to come in after the semester's over with Cam Miller. Nine are coming in. How valuable, in your opinion, has that become for guys to enter early?
I think it's crucial. I mean, the coaches will tell you that. They really want to get all these guys in as early as they can. And it used to be, and you'd see one or two, maybe. Now it's nine, eight, whatever the number is it's definitely every guy who you want to maybe look at playing next season.
Right.
You know, maybe not the junior college guys sometimes, but it's definitely the guys you're considering using. It's both your quarterbacks in this one. It's Alar and Prabula and it's Nick Singleton and it's a lot of guys who need that extra work. And that basis for, you know, I'm not going to be overwhelmed if I have to go in there, on the road against Purdue in game one and play. And now it's still going to be a little overwhelming. It's your first Big Ten game, but you know, you've got spring practices. You're a college student. You know what it's like. You know the process. You've been in the weight room. It's invaluable to have these guys in early. And I think there's going to be a time where you're looking at maybe even more than the number Penn State's getting in now, because people are looking at guys to come in and help immediately way more often than they used to in the past. Even 10 years ago, you didn't see guys coming in who you're looking at, hey, this guy's going to play immediately and help us out, and we need him right now. You don't know what you're going to have sometimes day to day in this game anymore. To know you're going to have these guys, it's crucial to get in there and see what you have, I think, as a coach.
And which brings us to the next part, and that is Dwight Gault announcing his retirement. He's been with James every step of the way in this. In the times that you dealt with and had the opportunity to talk with Dwight Gault, what impressed you about him?
Oh, how motivating he seems to be. We're getting them once a year, really, and a couple times, a couple times officially, like. You know, to, but he's a guy that, and I thought John Thomas back in the day was the same way. He was a guy who, you talked to him and then you wanted to go lift weights.
Yeah.
No matter how out of shape or old you are, you wanted to do this.
Right.
So you can impress Dwight Gault. Yeah. But I could see why he had the success he did. He's crucial for Penn State. Absolutely. It's a huge loss to not have this guy around anymore. But yeah, I don't think there's a more impressive guy that James has brought to Penn State than Gault was, because of what he's been able to do, to get guys to the NFL, but to be able to keep teams together. He plays a vital role in the offseason, as everybody knows. Kind of, he's the guy that these guys deal with most often. So I think, I've always liked him. I always look forward to that, to the talk every year about, who's doing what in the weight room. He was always very honest about that. He never said something, and then you look out at the field and it's like, that doesn't really play out with this guy or that guy. When he said this guy's making big strides in the weight room, he would look on the field and that guy would be making big strides on the field too. So he was always a really good indicator of what was to come for the future for Penn State. And he's going to be missed tremendously in the program. And I think he's retirement's hard earned for him. Let's put it that way. But I think he's going to be a very difficult guy to replace.
Thrilled for him, and I'm thrilled for Jan. So, the college football playoff, they keep talking. 12 keeps coming up. Why is this thing taking so long? Why does college football seem to have the ability to make everything seem like an excruciating decision?
I don't know. Because it seems so easy. Just play this game on a Saturday. Just get it over. Yeah, play it when fans expect it and fans will watch. It's hard because this game felt like it should have been played 3 days ago.
Sure.
And I know they're afraid of the ratings giant that is the NFL, but people are going to watch this game no matter when it's on. It's a tradition. It's your college football has its own.
But they can't get out of their own way. This 12 thing has been hanging there, and as they go around in a circle, I give Kevin Warren a lot of credit, by the way. Kevin Warren said, I want to see the Power 5 champions in. I'm glad he said something about that on Friday. That was great on his part, in my opinion. But, they sit in a room. 12, 16, pick a number. Just do it. You're going to get more money. You need it. You need the money.
What I've always wanted to see was do all the Power 5 champions and then, do the best,
agreed.
Group of five champions.
Then bring in
two at-larges. That's your best tournament. Everybody gets a chance to play. You might see an upset every once in a while. Nobody cares if Alabama wins every year if you get to see an upset every once in a while.
Right.
That's the problem with this right now.
Right, exactly. I was pointing out the NFL playoffs. Right? Over the years, some of the greatest playoff moments, Music City Miracle, the pass from what Keenum to Diggs to beat the Saints a couple of years ago, even Garrow your premium on Christmas Day, the Immaculate Reception. They weren't championship games. They were part of the playoff process. They were playoff games. You're going to get great moments just in other matchups along the way that'll enhance it.
Yeah, exactly. You put it best. Go think of your best. How many of the best NFL playoff moments happened in the Super Bowl? Of the top 20, maybe four.
Right.
You didn't mention the Bills' comeback against the Oilers, which is something I remember.
35-3.
Yeah, exactly. These things, you increase the potential. You increase your product by including more teams, even if those teams aren't the best teams. Even if Alabama wins it every year, you have to put a compelling tournament on the. That's why March Madness works.
Yes,
March Madness doesn't work. I've said this a million times because George Mason goes in there and wins the tournament. Duke wins the tournament,
right?
But George Mason sometimes makes the run, and you fall in love with that team, and then Duke or Kansas or Gonzaga wins it, and that's fine by people because you've gotten a compelling story up to that point.
I covered the Florida Gulf Coast win over Georgetown. Now, what's Florida Gulf Coast have a shot at winning the national championship? No. okay? But it was compelling. They beat Georgetown. And then they beat San Diego State to top it off. They got to the Sweet 16. Most people thought they were a community college.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I had never heard of them. And I watched those games in Tampa. I was covering spring training. I'd never heard of Florida Gulf Coast. And it was literally in their backyard. But yeah, I mean, I covered when Syracuse won it in 03 with McNamara when he was a freshman. That's a year you don't get that very often where a team comes out of nowhere kind of and wins it. But yeah, you know, you had freshmen got Carmelo Anthony, Hakeem Warwick, and Jerry kind of, you know, put them on their back and become really, really great players when they needed to most. And that's compelling, but that's once every 20 years. You don't need that all the time. You need that team to every year to, and it does in the tournament. It does in March Madness. Every year that kind of a team makes a little bit of a run and draws you in.
Yeah.
There's nothing drawing people into a four-team tournament that Alabama and Georgia are going to blow teams out in.
Right. Exactly. Sir, always a pleasure. Great to have you with us. Look forward to talking to you again.
All right. Thanks, Steve.
Donnie Collins, Scranton Times Tribune. Great to have Donnie on the show today. All right. So the college football playoff, it'll be the same format next year no matter what. They can't get out of their own way when it comes to playoff formats. George Kliavkov in the Pac-12 released a statement saying, hey, look, you know what? Whatever format they put out there in front of us, the Pac-12 is in favor of. And they went through, I think there were 6 points that they put down. And in the 6 points they put down, they just said, we're in favor of this, we're in favor of that, we're in favor of this. He said every single proposal had at least one group that wasn't in favor of it, according to them. You have to have all 11 say yes. It's interesting. You watch how college basketball works. College basketball makes an early signing day work. College football has unintended consequences. You notice there are very few unintended consequences with college basketball's early signing day. They make it work. Right? They do it right before the season begins. Right? And that's how they should do it. That's why I said college football should move the signing day to, I don't know, pick a day, August 15th. August 15th. Right? And that should be the early signing day. That should be it. Then at that point, you can recruit, but at the same time, you can really lock in on your team. College basketball, early signing date, no issue. Unintended consequences, very few. Right? NCAA basketball tournament and the NIT. Right? The NIT would be minor bowl games. Yep, make it work. Right? 68 teams, take another 32, put them in the NIT. They make it work. There you go. Done. Make it work. College football, can't get out of their own way. Can't make anything work. Early signing date, unintended consequences. College football playoff, infighting left and right. You are now coming. At some point, we're going to be through this pandemic. It'll be endemic, whatever it may be. Okay, but we'll be through it in terms of how it is now. In fact, we're getting close probably to the peak now of Omicron. But everybody needs money. All the shutdowns last year. NCAA tournament money was gone. No fans in stands for the most part in 2020. Right? Now you got fans back, but you've got some mileage to cover to close the gap. Doing this with an expansion would do it. All right. Neil Coolong next hour. Great to have you with us. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Okay.